We're here at the Warren, and this is my favourite time because it's kind of what Gandalf said is the deep breath before the plunge. The Warren in the morning is really chilled out, and then it builds and builds until it's a swinging party. And I'm joined by...
Lewis Ironside of Shitface Shakespeare.
Now, Shitface Shakespeare has just grown and grown and grown. Have you patented this, I hear, alongside other governments that are patenting nuclear weapons and stuff?
No, we're not currently under a disarmament protocol just yet. Yeah.
Although something happened with the production manager. You have to watch your arms with the production manager.
Yeah, but that's
Nikki Hayden, by the way.
Yeah, we have we've trademarked the name, but you know you can't trademark an idea. We have copycats out there.
But is it Shitfaced trademark Shakespeare because you can't? Copycat.
Oh, no, the whole thing. Shitface Shakespeare and Shitface Showtime are both they're both our trademarks. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, no, there's other people that try, but yeah. none of them stick around for very long.
And you know, everyone I know that's seen this is a success story for good reasons, and it's a really, really good theatre and unique as well. I don't think anyone had quite done this before. Can you take me back in time, if you were there, to when someone came up with this idea?
Well, it was me, but unfortunately, I don't really remember. So in 2005, I started a theatre company with a guy called Chris Nelson, co-creator of the idea. We got blackout drunk one night, having started the company I think officially 3 days before, woke up the next morning and there's a bit of white paper and scrawled on it in green crayon, the company's official crayon, are about four or five different ideas. One of them is Shitface Shakespeare. We have no idea what that idea is, but we knew it was such a good winning idea that we shelved it for 5 years and never went back to it. 2010, we tried our first run. We were running a theatre tent at the Secret Garden Party music festival, now defunct. And we wanted one of our own shows to headline that. We were doing about 35 hours worth of programming over 4 days. It was madness. And we decided, well, let's try Shitfaced. Our first show was 15 minutes long, resulted in an ambulance rolling across site to take our poor incapacitated actress back to the medical tent for overnight observations. We cancelled it then. We decided it was a dreadful idea. The next morning, she was back up on her feet, slightly worse for wear, but rehydrated and feeling all right. And she, along with the rest of the cast, begged us to try again.
Is it true that you were all teetotal and then you just did this for art?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely true. Nothing could be more real.
Can you hear that Scottish accent?
He's hiding. He's not Scottish, really. And also, just then, getting into the theatre of this, what is the theatrical challenge here to actually pull this off night after night?
We actually rehearse a show. This is the big secret of this. The big dirty secret of our company is we really enjoy Shakespeare. We actually love it, and we put together a solid 45-minute long production of a Shakespeare.
Did you hear that? They didn't say we really enjoy alcohol. Oh, by the way, Shakespeare. You got that in the right order.
The Shakespeare comes first, but the game is that nobody ever gets to see that show. We see it in rehearsal, and we know, God, we've got a really good, tight 45-minute version of this play here. And then for an hour on the stage, we just unleash the chaos around it. And it's like bowling, you know, you've got to set the pins up right first, and then we just smack it down every night. So we're never sure what the drunk's going to bring into it, but we just know we have to try and rebuild the play around it and, you know, try to put what we can back on the rails.
Yeah. But to achieve that, are you all completely immersed in it, or is there a bit of all of you that has to be managing it as well as being in it?
We are all... The game is to do both. We're all totally immersed in trying to get the story out, trying to play those characters. You're not just improvising, you're trying to actually improvise as that character. How does Mercutio behave in this moment? How does King Claudius react? And you're trying to think your way through that problems while also trying to make sure that, you know, one of your best friends doesn't, you know, fall over and smack their head off the front of the audience's knee or something. Right. So,
and so where did the Wizard of Oz come in?
This is a Shitface Showtime. Yeah. Yeah. So they...
just checking, this isn't like Burger King going vegan as well.
No, we were contacted years ago by a couple of fresh-faced Mountview graduates asking, hey, we've come up with a show and we're just wondering if you guys want to come see it. And it was kind of based on like Sondheim songs, and every one of the Sondheim songs were about drinking, and they were actually drinking throughout it. And so the production got increasingly sloppy, and we spoke to them. We were like, you guys are brilliant, you're very funny, you're incredibly talented. They were like, well, we'd like to do a musical version of Shitface Shakespeare. We were like, that's exactly what we were thinking. So Shitface Showtime is our second main show. And yeah, they are incredibly funny, incredibly talented. And it's that wonderful thing of seeing, like, immensely good, like, you know. And a lot of them do, like, shows on the West End and stuff like that as well. And they're off time. And they're coming to do this thing whereby, like, they know somebody is always going to be furiously out of step, massively out of tune, usually missing parts of their costume. It's the bits when they're not that is phenomenal, though. Like, some of these, like, we've had one of our shows whereby, like, we've done it where the pianist, the MD, is drinking. And, like, that is just... It's amazing watching a team of, like, professional singers work along with a piano that is just going off in all kinds of directions, you know. Genres get changed, lyrics get, you know, reworked on the fly, and the intelligence you need to do that is phenomenal. So it's a clever game.
Do different types of alcohol affect the theatre differently?
Nah. Nah, not really.
Okay, that's a good answer.
It's all booze, isn't it?
There's only one person that's drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have you experimented. We'll get them drunk. We'll get them drunk on, you know, organic wine. Because apparently, like, biodynamic wine, you don't get a hangover from and stuff like that.
You know, it's called ethanol, and we kind of, you know, we do our research, and it goes in, it gets broken down, it hits your brain, and then you go a bit mad for a wee while. No, we
so kind you haven't of gone down the sponsorship route. You know, this shit face of Shakespeare features, you know, so-and-so gin.
Hangover-free gin. Yeah. Oh, God, it'd be wonderful. As soon as someone invents it, I'll look into the biodynamic stuff, but I'm yet to be convinced, yeah.
And so, in terms of then repeating this, how do you stay fresh?
So we have a large team. We have 26 actors in the UK at the moment doing this on rotation. That's just Shakespeare. That's not including Showtime. So they are... We rotate around. Every night, at least one of our cast members actually has the night off. So if they were drinking the previous day, they may not even be on the show the next night. We rotate around. Over a run at Brighton, none of our cast will drink more than twice. None of them will drink less than 5 days apart from their last one. Bizarrely, and because our cast... They aren't allowed to drink until after the show, the rest of them anyway. Our guys don't start drinking at the Brighton Fringe, on average, until about 11 o'clock each night, which makes us one of the most sober troops of actors you will find at the Brighton Fringe. Except for the one person who starts at like 6 o'clock, and by the time they're finishing, we then sit them down. We have a very long cool-down period called Water Hour, where we will monitor them for the rest of the night. They are under our charge, and we look after them. So.
And given how it's grown, and given, you know, if it continues, it's a very big planet. Are you going to be launching on the stock exchange anytime soon?
We're going into cryptocurrency. We're launching an initial coin offering, and we'll see how that goes. The shit bit, I think we're going to call it. Yeah.
It's funny you say that, because one of the questions I've been asking lots and lots of people, in any of my interviews, is I suddenly interrupt and go, have you got any Bitcoin? And most people say no a bit too quickly and won't look me in the eye. So you have got Bitcoin, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. We're flush with it. That's how we fund the booze. That's definitely the underlying principle of theatre. Yeah. That's the ultimate end goal. You want to move into shady currencies as quickly as possible.
What does the audience have to be to make this show work as well? I mean, I guess they have a big role in this.
They do. I mean, our audiences are so different. We find different audiences from London to Australia to America, and they all approach the show in slightly different ways. I think you can come at this show wanting to see some Shakespeare, and you will enjoy seeing some Shakespeare. 15-20 minutes every night, there is no drunk on the stage, and we're delivering that little kind of gateway drug into the world of Shakespeare as well sometimes. If you come expecting to see a pure Shakespeare production, you will be disappointed. And if you just come expecting to see absolute chaos, you're going to have to sit through some Shakespeare to get there. It's that blend of stuff. The audiences that we have found over the years, and they find us as well. Yeah. They come expecting a bit of both. They want to see some of that actual acting work, and then see the subversion that comes through with it. Yeah. And obviously, every night is different. The chaos is always different every single night. Yeah. We've had some actors that have kind of gone, oh, I really want to do this on my drunk show, and they try to plan stuff out, and it never works. Yeah. So we gave up on that years ago. Like, we actively persuade people, don't plan, don't think about it, get in there, find that magic in the moment. And so for the rest of us, it's an ever-changing game.
Is it also really good because the initial success of it surprised you?
Well, I had no idea this was going to be successful. Yeah. I still remember
that's
that.
That's good, isn't it? That keeps you a bit humble, hopefully.
No, the whole cast is, it's the kind of job that doesn't tolerate ego. If you find an actor that is sort of going, well, you know, I'm really a proper Shakespeare actor, I'm a comedian that can't possibly do that, they will get torn to shreds every night, because we have a person on there just being honest. So, like, people that are horrible don't hang around this company. Most of the company comes from a troupe that have been working together for up to 16 years. We trained together, graduated in 2005, you know, and a lot of that core company still works for us. Yeah. Off that first show, the girl who ends up passed out and dragging across in the ambulance, she's currently living in Bath, but she was on with us again in the West End last year. Yeah. And in fact, four of those original five cast members are still active company members to this day. And it's this big team that actually look after each other and don't really have much of an ego, you know. And so it's the surprise of the show working has, because most of us have been there from the ground up as it's gone through. It's tremendous. And you walk out on the nights when you're not on it, you see a queue of people queuing around the block to come in and watch the show. It's like, who the hell are they queuing for? Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Finally, Fringe Review is a very kind of academic theatre publication, so we know stuff. We know a lot of stuff, actually. And one bit of research I think I'd invite you to do artistically is to see if you can get my mum and lots of her friends in. She turned 80, and she would come if she knew you were getting drunk on sherry.
Well, we let our drugs get drunk or whatever, but I don't think I'd be cruel enough to make anyone get drunk on sherry.
I think sherry would bring a brilliant kind of shit face, kind of like melancholy.
Well, you've already made me miserable at the very concept of it, so
and
it's pretty
fear.
Good.
I know. Fear of sherry cup. coloured
vomit. Yeah,
imagine that.
Wouldn't want to deal with that afterwards.
Jeez.
It'd be a real pain to get out of your clothes.
You know, if your mum's in her 80s, she would be by far and away, you know, nowhere near like the top level. We had a woman that came to see the show in Edinburgh 2 years ago with her great grandson. And he was in his mid-teens and sat in the front row with this woman in her late 90s. And at one point, one of our actors, I can't remember, he sort of swore or something like that, and, you know, sort of, you know, realized this woman was in there, and was going, "I'm so sorry! Oh my God, I've just used the C word!" And she just turns to him in this lovely old Edinburgh Scottish accent and says, "Well, stop being such a wee bloody C word then," right back at him. And just, she got the biggest laugh of the night, this 90-year-old granny. It was just wonderful, yeah. Right.
Can you just rate these possibilities? Okay, Shitface 2001 A Space Odyssey.
4 out of 8.
Shitface 1984.
Oh, A+.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Shitface Lord of the Rings, the original books.
Oh, 5 stars theatre review.
Okay, and then just a sneak peek at another shitface show that might be in the pipeline.
Oh, well, this is exactly what we'll be talking about next year.
You can make it up, no one will know.
Well, we think King Lear is a solid possibility, and that's an exclusive. Could be next year.
Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you very much.